الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. My respected elders and brothers, on one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and narrated a very interesting incident to them. This hadith can be found in many kitabs of hadith, among them Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that in one of the eras that has passed, there were three people who were traveling. While traveling together, they were beset by rain. And in order to seek refuge from the rain, to save themselves from this type of weather, to avoid becoming wet, they sought refuge in a cave. So they entered the cave together, these three people. And after some time, Allah Ta'ala made it such that a huge boulder rolled down the mountain. Three people are inside the cave. And this huge boulder has now effectively sealed off the entrance. They cannot see outside at all. There is no way for them to exit the cave. They look at one another. And they tell one another, look at the predicament in which we find ourselves. Nobody even knows of our whereabouts, that we can have hope of a rescue expedition coming and saving us. It is only us. The only person or the only zat that can save us is Allah. Let us turn to Allah Ta'ala in dua and beg Allah Ta'ala earnestly to save us and rescue us. But then they suggest to one another and say that together with making dua to Allah, let us each think to ourselves, what is that action which I did for Allah Ta'ala with the greatest amount of ikhlas and sincerity, which will be most beloved to Allah? Let me then tell Allah Ta'ala that, O Allah, if you value this action of mine and you accept it from me, then O Allah, through this action of mine you save me. So each one of them begins to think to himself, what action did I do in my life which I can have any hope in, that through this action Allah Ta'ala will save me. Allah Ta'ala will accept this action of mine. So one of them starts to make dua. He says, O Allah, I had a cousin. And she was a very beautiful woman. I was not in love with her, I was infatuated with her. I was absolutely besotted. I loved her as greatly as any man can love a woman. I wanted to marry this cousin of mine, but the parents did not agree to our union and marriage, so we were denied the opportunity to marry. But my heart was always attached to this cousin of mine. And from this extent of the hadith already we can see that a cousin can be a great source of fitna in a person's life. Very often people are negligent in this regard. They think, no, a cousin is the equivalent of a brother or sister. But it is not like that. It is necessary for hijab to be maintained, for parda to be maintained, because a greater fitna lies in a cousin. When it is an absolute stranger, then access is limited and restricted. When it is a cousin, then one is in and out of the home of the other. And if there is any communication, then sometimes an eyelid is not even battered in disapproval. So it's a greater fitna. So this man makes dua, he tells Allah that, "Oh Allah, this was my condition, my heart was attached to my cousin." And time and time again, I would try my best to seduce this cousin of mine. And I would tell her, "Come, let me have my way with you. Let us go into seclusion somewhere. Let us have a romantic moment." But she would always refuse me. She would always turn me down. He says, some time passed until eventually the fateful day came when this very cousin of mine arrives on my doorstep. She had fallen on hard times. She had no money. She had no food on the table. She was suffering from starvation. Desperate, dire circumstances. She came to me for assistance. Now I said, I have her at my mercy. Now I can tell her what to do and she can't refuse me. He says, I took 120 gold coins. Just the other day I asked somebody how much a gold coin is worth. They told me about 20,000 then. 120 gold coins he places before her. He tells her, this is yours, you can take it. As long as you let me have my way with you. What else could this woman do? She was in an utter state of desperation, she agrees. He says, then that moment comes where I'm in seclusion with her and I want to do the evil deed. But suddenly I notice to my surprise that she is overcome by shivering and the entire body begins to tremble uncontrollably. So I ask her, what's the matter? She begins to tear and she says, no, I fear Allah. So this strikes a chord within this man's heart. He tells her, you are in such desperation and such difficulty that if anybody had an excuse to do this type of deed, it would have been you. Yet you still fear Allah. And I am enjoying such comfort and luxury, yet I am hell-bent on doing this type of haram. How can this be correct? So immediately he makes tawbah to Allah. He tells her, you are free to go. I will not interfere with you and you can keep that money as well. So he makes dua and he tells Allah that, oh Allah, if in your court you accept this action and you know that I did it solely for your pleasure, there was no ulterior motive in my heart, then oh Allah, you assist us today. And as he makes this dua, that rock moves. But it only moves perhaps one third. So a slight opening is made, but they cannot leave the cave yet. But from this man's declaration at that moment, we learn something as well. He's saying that, you are in desperation, you have not forgotten Allah. I am in comfort and I have forgotten Allah. Generally we find when a person has difficulty in their life, may Allah Ta'ala save everyone from difficulty, there's cancer, or there's a robbery, or there's fire, or there's murder, or there's death, then people are very quick to turn to Allah. They raise their hands in dua. They repent to Allah. They make a determination to change their life. But أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. When good times come to a person, and now he's enjoying everything in life, and everything's working out, he's got wealth, he's got comfort, everything's working out, then now he begins to think that I don't need Allah anymore. I'm independent. Allah's given me already. Now if I disobey Allah, I already have everything. He forgets that Allah Ta'ala can take everything away in the blink of an eye. So to remember Allah and remain obedient and loyal to Allah in good times and in bad times, in times of adversity and prosperity, to always be faithful to Allah. Nevertheless, the second person is pondering and thinking, what action have I done in my life which has perhaps gained the acceptance of Allah, that I can make dua to Allah that, oh Allah, if you have accepted this action and you value it in your court, then oh Allah, you save us. So this person thinks to himself and eventually says that, oh Allah, I would always go out to graze the animals. And after grazing the animals, I would milk them. I would bring the milk home. And this was the only food for my family. And I have two parents, O Allah. These parents of mine are aged. They have nobody to look after them. They are entirely dependent on me. O Allah, whenever I would come home, I would always make sure that my parents would eat first. They would first drink the milk. Only after looking after my parents and seeing to my parents, then I would allow my wife and my children to drink their share of the milk. This was to honor his parents, to show appreciation to his parents, acknowledging the maqam and the position and status of his parents. He says, one night, O Allah, I went out and I got delayed. By the time I came back with the milk, my parents had already gone to sleep. He says, O Allah, I stood at their headside with the milk. I did not want to wake them up. I did not want to disturb their sleep. But at the same time, I thought to myself, they could wake up at any moment in hunger. So I did not want to give my children or my wife the milk first. My parents must drink first. I stood there the entire night waiting. Perhaps they can wake up at any moment looking for the milk. Until eventually the time of Fajr came. The entire night I stood with that milk in my hands. When they awoke at the time of Fajr, they saw me waiting with the milk. They drank the milk and then only I gave my wife and my children to drink the milk. O Allah, if you know that I did this only to please you, to acknowledge and show that respect to my parents, then O Allah, you help us today, you assist us. And as he makes this dua, that rock moves slightly. And now perhaps the opening is much bigger, but still they cannot exit that cave. Regarding the status of parents, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma was once near the Kaaba Sharif when he sees a man making tawaf around the Kaaba. While making tawaf around the Kaaba, this man is carrying his mother on his back and he's making tawaf. Now let us think, even the most frail old mother perhaps cannot be less than 40 kilograms. He's carrying his mother on his back and he's making tawaf. And while he's making tawaf, he sees Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma observing this scene. And he recites some couplets. He says something to the effect of, إِنِّي لَهَا بَعِيرُهَا الْمُذَلَّلُ إِنْ أَذْعَرَتْ رِكَابُهَا لَمْ أُذْعِرْ اللَّهُ ذُو الْجَلَالِ الْأَكْبَرِ حَمَلْتُهَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا حَمَلَتْ فَهَلْ تَرَى جَازَيْتُهَا يَبْنَ عُمَرٍ. He says, I am like a subservient camel for my mother. Meaning I'm carrying her on my back. Completely subservient. If she wants to go, I will go. If she wants to stop, I will stop. I'm completely at her command. In أَذْعَرَتْ رِكَابُهَا لَمْ أُذْعِرْ. If another camel can behave in a difficult manner with the person riding it, I won't be like that with my mother. I will ensure that I give her the utmost amount of comfort. Then he tells Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar that my mother carried me in the womb for 9 months. But I've carried my mother on my back for longer than 9 months. Have I repaid my mother the debt that I owe her? Have I fulfilled her haqq? Look at the khidmat he's making, carrying his mother on his back. He says, more than 9 months I'm carrying her on my back. Have I fulfilled the haqq of my mother? Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma tells him, La. Wala bi zafratin wahida. You speak about fulfilling your mother's entire haqq on you. Let alone her entire haqq, you have not even repaid her for the one gasp of pain that came out when she was in labor. That is the haqq of the mother over her son. That is the right that she has over you. So nevertheless, returning to our incident, this is the dua that that person makes. And this is how Allah Ta'ala causes that opening to be made. Another incident comes to mind. The Abbasi ruler Ma'mun, he once commented and he said that I never knew a person who was more obedient to his father and more concerned for the welfare and comfort of his Fadl bin Yahya Barmaki. His father was imprisoned by one of the rulers. He got on the wrong side of the ruler. The ruler was upset with him. So Fadl bin Yahya goes with his father into the jail. to make his father's khidmat and see to his father's comfort. Now his father was very advanced in age, very old. Being so old, the weather being very cold, his father would need warm water to make wudu. They are in a jail. Where is the arrangements for warm water? Obviously there's no arrangements. A jail is not supposed to be a place of comfort. But the son thinks to himself, how can I bring comfort to my father? So he's worried. He says, my father will wake up for tahajjud salah. I must have warm water ready for him. He takes the utensil of water and he stands by the lamp the entire night, by the lantern, so that the heat of the lantern gradually can transport to the water. Obviously, it's not like putting a pot on the stove in 10 minutes you've got hot water. You're standing close to a lamp. It takes the entire night. But by the time of Fajr, he has that warm water for his father. When the warden sees this, he gets upset. The next night, he confiscates the lamp. Fadl bin Yahya says, I can't just say it's one of those things, never mind, part of life. I must try and get warm water for my father. So he spends the entire night with that utensil of water held onto his stomach so that his body heat can get transferred to the water. And that is how he warms that water for his father. Anyway, the third person in the cave, he's thinking, what action of mine gained acceptance by Allah? That I can have some hope that Allah Ta'ala will save me through this action. He thinks and then he says, oh Allah, on one occasion I hired some laborers. They came and they did some work for me. When it was time to pay the laborers, one laborer became upset for some reason. He became upset and in the state of that anger, he turned his back and he walked away. And he did not take his money. What did I do? That money which was outstanding to that laborer, I took that money and I invested it. I began to do business with it. Bought some animals, planted some crops. He says, as time passed, this investment grew and increased until eventually it wasn't one animal as it was initially. It was flocks and herds of animals. And now it wasn't just one field of crops. It was granaries and silos worth of grain. And years later, an old man comes to me. And he says, I have a haq on you. I ask him, what is that haq? He says, I did work for you one day. I never took my money and I went. So many years have passed. He says, I took this old man onto the roof. I told him, look, you see all those animals and all those crops and all of that grain, it belongs to you. The old man tells him, first you didn't give me my money. And now you're making jokes with me like this. You're humiliating me. You're making a mockery of me. He says, no, by Allah, this is the truth of the matter. Everything belongs to you, you must take it. That man was extremely happy. He took everything and he went. So this man makes dua and he says, oh Allah, I could have only paid him what was due to him. I could have kept his original amount. If it was 10 rand I owed him, I could have kept 10 rand. And when he came, I could have given him the 10 rand. And my debt would have been fulfilled. But oh Allah, I went the extra mile here. I invested that money for him, that perchance if he comes one day, I can give him so much more, make him happy. Oh Allah, if I did that to make you happy, if you have accepted this action of mine, then oh Allah, you save me today. As he makes the dua, that rock moves entirely. The entrance is open and they leave the cave. In conclusion, my respected elders and brothers, we need to be loyal and faithful to Allah in our happy times, our times of prosperity and times of difficulty. If a person has this quality in his life, where he's always loyal and faithful to Allah, always obedient to Allah, may Allah Ta'ala grant me this quality and all of us. In our time of difficulty, Allah Ta'ala will be there for us. Whatever the difficulty may be, we will not need to stretch our hands before people. Allah Ta'ala Himself will make the way out for us. Allah Ta'ala mentions Himself, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has the fear of Allah, whoever is a faithful servant of Allah, when he has need of Allah, Allah Ta'ala will make a way out for him. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. وَأَخْرُ دَعْوَانَا لِلْحَمْدِ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.